South Sudan is on the road to completing its political transitional by 2027, a crucial moment for shaping the country's future. Now, as the process unfolds, women in the legal profession are stepping up to make sure that the transition is inclusive, just and truly represents the voices of all citizens.
So this week, the Federation of Women Lawyers, OFIDA South Sudan, in partnership with UNMISS, is hosting a two-day workshop in Juba. The goal is to strengthen the role of women lawyers in key national processes such as constitution making, justice reforms, and also elections. So Executive Director of OFIDA Advocate Susan Pony-Victor spoke to me about this initiative.
The workshop is actually important for women lawyers generally. That's because we are actually at a critical situation where we believe the country is actually going on with its political journey, aiming to complete its political transition by February 2027. This time, line provide an opportunity to all stakeholders, including women lawyers, to actively engage in key political processes such as constitutional making process, you know, by participating in the political transition is actually like giving their voices more stronger and now coming out with what they really need to be incorporated, what type of political transition they want, what type of constitutional making process they want. This workshop actually tells us about promoting gender reform inclusively and meaningful participation of South Sudan women lawyers in the political transition. We believe this workshop actually came at the right time where we actually need, because women lawyers or most of the lawyers are left behind.
Right. And what are some of the most key contribution that women lawyers can make during this political transition, and especially on constitution making and security reforms plus election? We understand also the National Constitutional Review Commission is doing some consultation these days with the stakeholders, including citizens, on whatever inputs they want to put into these processes. What are female lawyers are doing to include into this constitutional making process?
Federation of Women Lawyers came up with actually a position paper, and that position paper is actually tackling a particular subject matter, which I can actually proudly say is already out. That paper actually talked about social economic rights to be included in the permanent constitution of South Sudan. This is part of what female lawyers or Federation of Women Lawyers is doing. But again, also in the constitutional making process, we are actually voicing our voices out that discrimination has to be addressed very clear. Issues to do with inequality, issues to do with discrimination, issues to do with gender gaps, where sometimes we feel like women are not actually included in the process. We have, the constitution has to be very clear and address those gaps. And now we are coming out with a lot of suggestions that has to be included. We are thankful that now they are doing consultation, and we are part of that by actually giving out our voices, what we actually want the constitution to address in particular.
We understand that FIDA is working closely with institutions such as Ministry of Justice and also the National Constitution Review Commission. What are you going to do to make sure that all these inputs plus women's perspective are actually reflected in the final document?
Most of our voices will be out in the advocacy, because we are coming out to advocate more, and we will be coming out with a lot of position paper. But before that, we are now coming out with organizing ourselves. If you see, this workshop is bringing judges, which is actually one of the key people that we really want, and is coming out with also military justice, which are actually part of the workshop, and advocates at the market and other private sectors. In doing that, it's actually giving us opportunity to know some of the advocacy and policy reforms that we want. We also understand that the constitutional process actually has a lot of gaps that has to be filled, and And one of the key role that we believe we can do is actually checking the overall of the Bill of Rights and filling the gaps that are there, advancing the women's human rights, because, you know, violations are wider these days. They are rampant, and we want the permanent constitution to address it, and strengthening the economic and social right protection in the constitution.
You mentioned that some of the judges, including the military judges and maybe lawyers, are going to be part of this today workshop. So are you bringing also some judges and some female lawyers from the states, or only it is centralized here in Juba?
With judges, we actually concentrate within Juba.
Yes.
Because of the, you know, we don't have funding, and it was actually supported by UNMISS Political Affairs. Yes, but we have group of advocates, let me say, Women Alliance in WOW, they are attending online. Mm-hmm. And that's something which is very good.
Yes, it
we
is.
Have not actually incorporated such an aspect in one of our training by then.
Mm.
Mostly if we have funding, we bring them here. But now this is one of the key things. They can be there and they can participate. So I think next time we are going to reconsider also judges at the state level has to be attending online, if in case we don't have funding of bringing them here.
Okay, Advocate Susan, talking about the workshop that you just mentioned, that is going to bring together women from across the legal field, what are some of the main themes or discussion taking place over the coming 2 days, is starting tomorrow and next tomorrow?
One of the topics that will be covered is actually the priority constitutional and legislative issues for women in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we are so proud of Minister of Gender, because they already gave us the South Sudan Women Charter, which actually covers a lot of points, or maybe a lot of topics that has to be incorporated. We have 12. And we believed also there was actual recommendation from CEDAW. For your information, South Sudan has already ratified CEDAW without reservation, and there is actually obligation for South Sudan to do other things. I understand in December, Minister of Gender has to report back on what some of the recommendation that has been posted to them. Have South Sudan actually work on it, including the enactment of the family or gender-based violence bill. We have sessions like advancing women political participation. We have experience of women lawyers. They can talk about their experiences and perspective of women in the legal professions.
Mm.
They can actually talk about some of the opportunities and challenges for advancing of women in the judiciary. We have topic like women leadership in the constitutional making process and electoral processes. You know, women lawyers also deal with human rights. They
yes.
deal with fairness. So by involving them is actually important, so that they can put advocate for the rights, work within the context of what the law want, and make sure that we are in the right track.
Yes, one of the things you mentioned earlier that the participants of this workshop are going to be taken through is the family bill or the GBV bill. There has been a lot of discussion ongoing about this family bill. People are yet to finalize it, so that it is submitted maybe to the parliament for further discussion, or taken to the president for approval. What is going on with this family bill?
Family bill is actually on the draft, let me say like that, and including the GBB. If we are asked to prioritize which one has to come, we want these two bills to come, and mostly the anti-GBB bill. Then the questions arise. Now it is with the Minister of Justice. And this is one of the recommendations that came out from CEDAW, that they wanted the bill to be passed into law, because it will address those gender issues that are actually affecting women. Again, Council of Ministers has not been sitting. You know the process, the ministry has to submit to the Council of Ministers, then the ministers discussed it and passed it, then it's taken to the parliament. We had a conversation with a lot of MPs, and they are ready. Once the documents is there, they are ready. So now we are asking ourselves, what is the way forward? Is there any way where there would be like a cluster gender cluster, the one headed by Her Excellency Rebecca Nyandeng, can discuss it within her context, then she's taken to the parliament.
Mm.
Or what to do, because the Council of Ministers is not sitting. And this is one of the challenges which is actually affecting me. You know, there is actually anti-people. People who doesn't want these bills to come because
are
it is addressing.
Or they are men?
There are men, of course. There are men who are not. Maybe women are also. They are covering their head, but I don't think. Mostly there are men who are not happy with some provision in the bill.
Mm.
And we believe, of course, there is no way out. Time for everything. So now the issue is now how will us push it, since the Council of Ministers is not sitting for the last 6 months.
You are one of the advocacy bodies working in South Sudan in the legal profession. What is your call, maybe to authorities or to the government on this issue of anti-GBV bill and also the family bill?
We say it, this anti-GBV bill has to come out.
Mm.
That's because there is actually rampant cases of gender-based violence. You know, issues to do with gender-based violence, people consider gender-based violence, these are family things, yeah. Even you go to police station, they say you go and resolve it in the house. And if you see now, there's a lot of sexual abuse is happening.
Mm-hmm.
We are receiving today. I remember in July this month, we have in one stop center, Juba Teaching Hospital, we have like 80 cases of sexual
this
abuse.
Is a lot.
And these are only for this, and these are the ones that are reported. And they came for medical attention. Leave alone those who are actually
handled at the family level.
Those who are, they don't want to be exposed, mm-hmm. because maybe ignorance are there, maybe also
shame.
Issues to do with why should you spoil our reputation mm-hmm. as a family? We are not supposed to be exposed. You know, we are a big family because of those cultural things, not knowing that is actually of importance and need medical attention. So issues to do with gender-based violence is actually rampant these days. And we are understanding that some people are actually financially, they are broke because of the economic crisis that are happening now. Some of them are believed to be juju background. Maybe juju said if you sleep with a child,
you
will get rich. So that now they are taking those opportunities and making those things happening. But let me tell you, people are suffering. We have a case where a father has to sleep with the daughter. We have the case right now we are handling. These are things which are not even in our culture. If we say that we are proud of some of the cultures, of some of the things in our culture, culture even doesn't believe on those things, but we don't know what is happening these days. That's why we are thinking, is there anything which is new in this country? Who can address those? That's why we wanted those bills. Because the anti-GBV bill, first of all, will start the procedural aspect. What are the requirements? Where you get the help? What are the work of the police procedures? You come. What are the support you need? And even you as a family. We have one case where the family has to be arrested because they receive something as a result. And that's something which is very good. We are so proud of some of the attorneys who are working because they also studied the law very well and they put the provision in action. And this is what we want. The anti-GBV bill is actually important and we really want it to be out.
Okay.
Among others, yeah.
Now, after this two-day workshop, what concrete outcomes or recommendations do you expect to emerge, and how will they fit into national reform processes like the constitution making process and also the election?
This workshop is actually like an eye-opener for us.
Mm.
First of all, is bringing experiences from those who have gotten a lot of insight of what is happening in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it is actually giving us an opportunity to know where to start. You know, because you have to understand where you are. You have to understand the gaps. You have to understand where the tools, how you start with the tools. So it will give us an opportunity of coming out with advocacy strategies. And it will also give us capacity of how to contribute or participate meaningfully in the constitutional making process as well as election. So we are coming out with the strategies of how to promote the effective implementation of the 35% in terms of the gender quota and other gender provision of the Artigono, because we believed share national and regional experience of female lawyers in political transitions is actually important. We don't want to be left out. We don't want to be just practicing law. They are just busy with the law. What about the other gaps that are there? We believe women are there waiting for us. We have vulnerable women who doesn't know. It is us to talk about what they really want, because we are the one who understand it. And that one will give us like the best formula of coming together. You know, it's the first time where judges come together. You know, judges, sometimes they make themselves, they cannot associate. But now it's actually giving us like a networking event where we network, we understand our challenge. Then we also come as a team and pushed that elephant that is actually affecting us as women.
Mm.
And that's actually the approach we have.
Yes, a question that some of the listeners might want to know is, beyond this workshop, what does FIDA South Sudan does in the legal field in South Sudan? What is your work?
Okay, thank you. You know, Federation of Women Lawyers was established in 2012.
Mm.
And the aim was actually to fill in the gaps which are there. We believe women are actually suffering with their children. So coming out with an institution addressing those gaps are actually important. One of the things that as FIDA we are doing is offering legal aid service, a free legal aid service. People may recall we have a good number of people whom we, women who we supported, and now we are working within the prison just to make sure that we offer a free legal service to them. Apart from that, we are also coming up with advocacy, because we don't actually just offer legal service alone. We also come with advocacy strategies of advocating for inclusion of women, advocating for reforms, advocating for enactment of such laws like the bill of anti-GB bill, family bills, the gaps that are there, the ratification of the international human rights instruments that actually favor women. We do that. We do a lot of advocacy and legal literacy, because we believe women, most vulnerable women, they don't know even their rights.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know where to start. If things came up abruptly, they don't know where to start. Sometimes they ended up crying, so they have to be coached. They have to be told where you go, where will you get the services.
Mm.
So they have to be coached. So women lawyers are actually doing a lot in terms of advocacy, in terms of legal representation. We have good number of lawyers who are working with us, and they are doing free service. So anybody who has issues to do with legal representation, because I understand these days anything to do with legal representation require a lot of finances, but ours we do free with support of CIHA, with support of Animes, Human Rights Division, Accountability Unit. They gave us some funding. We are so proud. Even to the extent.
ذكر المحامية سوزان بوني فيكتور مديرة التنفيذية لرابطة المحاميات في جنوب السودان فيدا كان قاعد تتكلم عن جهود المنظمة بالتعاون مع بعثة الأمم المتحدة لتعزيز دور المرأة القانونية في دعم العملية الانتقالية صياغة الدستور وكمان إصلاح قطاع العدالة والانتخابات المقبلة